Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Advancing Women in Leadership podcast. Today, we have the privilege of interviewing Melinda Martinez. Melinda, let's go ahead and get started. Would you mind describing for us your role at Concordia and how long you've been in this role?
Yeah, thank you for having me this morning. It's great to connect with you all and to see you. And to everyone listening, thanks for taking the time. So I have been at Concordia for 8.5 years, and I am currently serving as the Associate Vice President for Legal Affairs and Human Resources. And I have been in this role now for a little over 2 years. And it's hard to say what this role entails because I was only in it for a few months before COVID hit. And even in that window, I was still kind of transitioning out of my previous role in student affairs. So I remember coming in at the start of 2020, all excited, thinking, okay, I'm officially 100% in HR. I'm excited. I have all these projects, you know, fresh new year, of all these ideas of things to accomplish. And I remember sitting in a meeting saying, I've passed the stage where I've just been trying to survive and I'm ready to thrive. I remember saying those words in that first week in 2020. And then, you know, 6 weeks later, we're talking about COVID, and, you know, just a few weeks after that, we're closing campus. And so I don't feel like I've had a lot of opportunity to experience this role in a non-reactionary way. But it's been a lot of challenge for sure. And a lot of opportunity to serve, which has been great as well. I oversee a team. There's 5 of us in HR, and we also have HR specialists in each of the schools. We serve the entire employment community, from faculty to staff to our student workers and GAs, and just facilitate all their needs, you know, in an employment context. So we work with recruiting, we work with benefits, we work with employee performance management. And I would say for the last probably 6 months, recruitment has been the number one focus. We've had a lot of, you know, change in the last year. And so we've been really busy trying to keep up with all those changes in HR.
Definitely. Sounds like you've had a rough start to your role in HR, but we're glad to have you in this role. Our next question for you is, what is your preferred leadership style or leadership experience that has helped advance your walk in leadership?
So I am definitely a hard worker. I definitely, I thrive, I would say, in high stress, high tense areas, you know, through difficulty and things. So I guess that's a good parallel to where we've been for the last couple of years. But I love leading in this team in HR, being alongside, you know, my team, and we're just working through everything together. Just getting in the trenches and working through all these things. We've had so many changes in our processes and procedures that we've had to navigate. And some of it has even been just starting from scratch because there's no roadmap out there for how to navigate the things we've had to navigate for the last few years. So just kind of getting in all of that and working alongside my team and being in a position in HR, obviously it's more than just, we are working together as an HR team, but we serve the entire community. So being able to collaborate with, you know, department heads, deans, and partner with them in meeting the goals in their individual areas and departments as well has been great. And we've had a lot of opportunity to do that. And so I love that. I love just kind of partnering with folks and getting into it and how can we help? It's really about service, and that's the crux of what HR is being in service. I would say that's my leadership style and how I work with others.
That's great. Now, you mentioned how the last two and a half years has really forced you to be more reactive to the things that have gone on. Now, assuming hopefully soon, one of these days, we'll be able to put the pandemic behind us in the rearview mirror, are there any specific goals, visions, initiatives that you have for your role or your team that you would like to see specifically come to play?
Yeah, there's, I would say we have goals not only for our team, but also looking outward into the community as well. We talked about a lot of changes across campus, and HR hasn't been immune to that either. So we've had a pretty significant change in personnel within HR as well. So one of my goals for our own department is really kind of crystallizing where all of the responsibilities within HR lie. And we've had now about a year with the team that we have today, and getting to know this team within the last year, where their skills lie, and really evaluating that and shifting some things, you know, internally, so that it allows people to feel the most fulfilled by the work that they do. And that in turn, obviously, is a better, you know, service to the community at large. So that's probably one of my first goals, moving outside of the pandemic, although I don't plan to wait till this pandemic is over to do that, but we've been taking steps in that already, but seeing that through to completion is one of our goals. Even before, when I first came into HR, I had all these ideas. Obviously, my background's in law, so I have that lens, and I see a lot of things that I wanted to, you know, take a look at. I'm a policy nerd. I apologize. But being able to look at handbooks and, you know, reviewing policies and putting some procedures in place that not only help HR's operations, but also the understanding in the community of how things operate, having a clear outline of some of these benefits and resources that HR can offer to the community. One of the great things that I'm really excited about that we have not been able to fully dive into is the new app that we launched for the students, and being able to incorporate processes and procedures once we've finalized those internally, and then communicating that out and doing training and stuff with the community on some of those pieces, and kind of reminding folks. We've had so much turnover, not just in HR, but across the entire campus. And so getting back to the basics of, hey, this is the recruiting, you know, process, and here's what that looks like, and here's who you can reach out to, and using the app to do that will be really exciting and a neat way to connect with employees. So I look forward to getting into that more. There are some pieces on there available now. We've transitioned some of the things that were in Blackboard into the app and using, you know, fillable forms so that it's easy and employees can fill things out on their phones, because let's face it, we're on our phones all the time. So just finding those ways to, finding those ways to make everybody's job easier and more efficient.
We're going to transition a little bit to more some personal questions. So even though you're not new to the Concordia community, are there any things that we might not know about you? So a hobby or talent, for example?
Well, a talent would not be singing, because my kids ask me not to sing in the car. I would say anyone who knows me knows we love the beach. My family, we're pretty much at the beach every weekend if we can. My husband and my kids all surf, and I'm the official photographer of all things. And we love camping, and so we sometimes combine the two, and we camp in a lot of beach spots, but we also really enjoy traveling and getting out and we have a trailer, and just getting out and exploring and kind of slowing down with the kids. That's probably our favorite thing to do.
How fun. Photographer and lifeguard, I'm sure you could throw in there.
Yeah.
Hard by their surfing.
I pick them up on their boards before they tip over. Yes, if they're surfing in.
That's perfect. Now, how about a favorite book or maybe a favorite podcast that you're following or subscribed to?
Oh, goodness. I listen to a lot of HR podcasts. And reading, especially over the last, since I've stepped into HR, a lot of my reading has been guidance related, regulations. but going back and just looking at different books I've read, it's been a while, but one of my favorites is actually Unbroken, and it's the story of Louis Zamperini. I love that story. I love anything that speaks to the human spirit and what we are capable of and how our faith can carry us through unimaginable adversities. And no matter what we face, our God is bigger, our God is greater, and has plans for those challenges, and how he can take those challenges that you can't see in the moment. You can't see what it is, how that's going to serve you. You know, you just see it as this unimaginable burden. And then looking back, you know, through that story, you just see how God's plan was so evident through all of that, and the power of his faithfulness to us. And if we just stay, we cling, it's not even stay, we cling to him, you know, in all of those times. I love that story, not story, that's real life. But I love that book. The movie unfortunately cut out the faith part at the end. It was a little unfortunate, but the book is amazing. It was actually recommended to me by Dr. Schlichtmeier. So thank you to him for that recommendation.
Awesome. I love that. And to kind of dovetail on that, do you have a favorite Bible verse or motto that you live by?
So my favorite, I have many verses actually, but probably, so we have a whiteboard at home that I would work with the kids, and we would pick like a Bible verse and just think about that and talk about that, you know, during meal times and things. And we would change it every couple of weeks. And we wrote one probably the first week after the kids got sent home from school last year. So it's been what now, 19 months. This verse has been in my kitchen, and we still talk about it all the time because I think it's been so relevant to everything that we, you know, have been experiencing. And so it's Isaiah 40, verse 31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I love it. First of all, it's written, my son actually wrote it. So it's in his child, you know, he was nine at the time, printing. And I want to like send it in and have it printed on a shirt, because I love the innocence of his, it's a child's writing that I have at home. And I just think about that all the time. Kind of, I guess it dovetails a lot with the book too. I just love being reminded of where our strength comes from, and that we can go to him. And I've talked about this a number of times, the privilege that we have to go through the challenges that we've gone through and continue to go through. And as a community, to be able to go to Christ in every single meeting, every single major decision, every single struggle, every single fear, that we have invited Christ into every single one of those conversations here as a community. And when I've talked to colleagues in similar industries and other places, and where they don't have that, it's so evident to me how fortunate we are to be in a community of believers, and to be able to go to God to renew our strength, you know, in the work that we do, because it's all about serving our students. And I know in HR, you know, we serve our employees, but it's about fueling our employees who then go and serve our students. And that's what we're called to do. And so to be able to just to know that we go to God first for the strength to carry out his vision, his mission, you know, here at his institution, and our ability to do that is such a gift. And I'm just so grateful for that. So I love that reminder.
I love that.
Yep.
Another question here. If you could give your younger self some advice, what advice would you offer?
I would tell my younger self to take some risks. I believe a lot in, there's a lot of consistencies in birth order. I'm a firstborn, so you are as well. We all are.
I love it.
Yes. So I'm not a risk taker. And I think growing up, that came from, you know, a fear of failure. And now that I'm, I wish I could say older and wiser. I know I'm older. I do have the vision now when I'm going through something to say, okay, what am I being shaped for? What am I, how is this preparing me? And kind of surrendering myself in those moments to God and what he has in store for me, what he's preparing me for. Cause I've had enough experiences now that I can look back and say, okay, I didn't see it at the time, but I see it now, how that challenge, you know, prepared me for whatever it is. And so, you know, that it's that fear of failure is really, it can be really paralyzing, and you're scared to step out and, you know, to make decisions or to commit to something. And, so I would tell myself to be okay with that. Because even if there is a failure, you know, somewhere along the way, there's learning in that, and that's not failure.
Can you describe a pivotal time in your life pre-COVID, either personal or professional, that changed or shaped the way that you approach a work-life balance?
I mean, so pre-COVID, I would say not so much about work-life balance, but faith-life balance. I worked in law firms before coming to Concordia, and anyone who knows me has heard my story that I felt from day one, I'm home. I'm where I want to be. I've always wanted to work in a place where, it's our faith that drives the work that we do. And it fuels our passion for what we do. And so I, you know, seeking that out intentionally, knowing, getting to a point where I knew what I wanted, and I was looking for several years at what's Concordia have posted. I had gone to, you know, my senior pastor and interviewed for a position there years before coming to Concordia. And, you know, he told me, you need to be looking at Concordia. There's more growth and opportunity for you there. And so I was for several years. And then a family friend that worked here, who I'd grown up with, and she'd known me since I was like five, called my mom and said, they're not posted yet, but there's two positions that are going to be available soon, and wanted to put it on my radar. And it was that intentionality of seeking out a place where, I mean, the work-life balance came with that as well, you know, coming here, but it was really more motivated by faith and being in a place where that was central to what we did and the work that we do. But if I may, can I add a story? It breaks your rule, and I'm a firstborn, so we're all rule followers here. But I do have a lesson that's post-COVID, if I can share.
Absolutely.
So for me, I'm my phone is in my hand 24/7. And I think the work that I do now, I feel such a strong sense of responsibility because people need things. And when they come to HR, they're needing something, they're hurting in some way, they need a replacement position, or they're needing to work through a situation. I have a question about something. So I have my phone all the time. And we went on a camping trip this summer and kind of joked about, hey, I may not have cell reception. I didn't actually think I wouldn't. And I did not for 10 days. I did not have cell reception. And it was, you know, coming through this season of COVID where we've worked kind of nonstop. That was life-changing for me. And to pause and be in God's beautiful creation out, you know, with my family and not have my phone in my hand, but actually be present, fully present. There were zero distractions. I mean, we couldn't even stream music. We actually had to dig CDs out of the truck that have probably been there since, you know, well, based on the years, I mean, these were like our high school years, you know, we were completely disconnected, and it was the greatest thing. And so I don't think we do that very well naturally. We don't separate very well. So finding ways to intentionally do that, Put our phones down and step away and be present. Because I think we tend to be like half here, half there. You know, I'm at my kid's soccer game, but I'm also making, literally just 2 weeks ago, I'm at my daughter's soccer game. But I'm also doing contact tracing. I had to call and do some follow-up calls for a COVID case, you know, so we're always in two places at the same time. So be intentional about setting time apart that you are present with yourself or with, you know, family, with loved ones. But be intentional about setting that time apart because it's really, really needed. And we don't do that very well as a society. So that was it is post-COVID, but that was my great lesson this last summer.
That's so important to be able to turn it off. It sounds like you just need more camping trips off the grid, right? And then it kind of does it for you. So
I think we do. I know. I actually thought maybe we'll look and see which ones don't have cell reception.
There you go. That would be perfect. Well, Melinda, thank you so much for the time that you took this morning to meet with us. Is there anything else that you wanted to share or add that you think our Concordia community should know about you?
Know about me? No, I'm just me. But I would say, I've said it already today, but boy, we are just blessed. We are really blessed. And we have some amazing, amazing colleagues. And I've had the privilege of working with you two and this entire group of women in leadership for the last few years. And I just encourage all of our employees to take the time. And I know it's hard because we're all busy and we're all running around, but take the time, have lunch, connect with somebody you don't know and hear the story. We have so many talented, amazing human beings working here at Concordia. And we just, we've lost a year of connectivity. And so I just encourage everybody to take that time. I mean, listening to these podcasts is great too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting to know women that we were talking about through this series, but also just working in HR, I've gotten to connect with different areas across campus. And I'm just always amazed at the stories, you know, and how people have come to working here and what they did before coming to Concordia. Amazing, amazing expertise that's here and just a heart for service. And I'm just always, every time I get to have one of those kind of conversations, just reminded of how grateful I am to work here. So I just encourage folks to take the time to do that and get to know one another here because we have a really amazing community.
I love that. Well, thank God for you. And thank God for that family friend that made the phone call to your mom years ago because we've certainly been blessed.
Thank you. Agreed. Appreciate that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us this morning. We enjoyed getting to know you a little bit better, and we know the Concordia community is going to be really excited to hear from you. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
This has been Concordia University Irvine's Advancing Women Leadership Podcast. Thanks for listening and have a blessed day.